Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Halliburton tries a three. Got it. Turner goes inside. The slam and the foul. Here's TJ McConnell, drives right off the bench, right with a contribution. Shot clock at six. Halliburton up top. Obi Toppin takes the three. Goes down the lane. The left-handed flush. Halliburton steps back, three-pointers up, it's good. Nimhard inside, Siakam spins, falling away. Oh, Pascal Siakam, 15 first-half points. Right back to Siakam, inside, Turner with the slam. Oh, a tomahawk from Turner. Siakam shoots it. Nesmith comes flying in for the rebound and put back. The level of fight that Rick Carlisle wanted. He's received it here in the first half, an 11-point Pacer lead. Nesmith, an open three. Turner on the follow. Halliburton, step back three. It's good. Toppin, air ball. McConnell right there. Off the glass. Siakam giving space wide open. Jumper's easy. Pascal Siakam having his way. He's got 25. McConnell drives, kicks it out. Nimhard, three-pointer. Got it. Toppin gets inside and the lefty slam. Turner. Nimhard. Good clean look for three. It's good. Pacers now 6-0 at home. Game 7 coming up on Sunday. Only fitting with the way these two teams have gone at it.
With their backs against the wall, the Indiana Pacers on the brink of elimination, win 116-103 against the New York Knicks and force the two best words in all of sports, Bocce, Game 7. Here we come, Madison Square Garden. The Pacers are looking for their first road victory of the series, and honestly, the first road victory for any team in the series. But Bocce, what did you think of the Pacers' performance tonight?
It was everything you had to see. You wanted to see heart. You saw it. You wanted to see them fight on the glass. The Pacers won the rebounding advantage. You wanted to see what could they do defensively against Jalen Brunson. They played them flawlessly in the first half. I just felt like you wanted to see more out of Halliburton. You saw a little bit more. Siakam, people had a lot of questions, a lot of doubts. Oh, that man responded. You saw everything you needed to see out of this Pacers team on how they could possibly defend home court and send it to seven. And right now, I'm as proud of this team as I've been all season.
Bocce, this team is one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. And
we're even here. It does.
Just the last 2 years, they had, you know, top eight picks in the draft. Really top seven, but they traded back one. So, but technically top eight. Ben Mather and Jairus Walker aren't even playing in this series right now. So it just kind of shows you, like, they are so far ahead of schedule. I don't care who they've faced, who's been on their team. You know, the opponent-wise, you're not going to discredit Indiana for what they've done, how hard they've played, and how they've gotten here. They've earned this, no matter what anybody wants to say. But I will say this, Pascal Siakam, we talked about it on the last episode. They've got to get him the ball where he can do a much better job scoring against the mismatches. And what do they do tonight? They constantly gave him the basketball in that 8 to 12-foot range that I talked about, and he was able to score at a very efficient rate. 7 of 13 for 15 points in the first half, 4 of 8 for 10 points in the second half. A great balanced night from him, and that doesn't even include the amount of rebounds and assists that he had in this game.
The crazy thing is I felt like a lot of Siakam's critics were Pacer fans. Yeah. They were ones that were really saying, I just don't think that you could re-sign this guy. You know, I don't think he's a max player. This is all after we've traded 3 first-round picks for him. Pascal Siakam put this team on his back at times in this game. You talked about his stat line. It was great tonight. He was a plus 20. I mean, the 25 points, the 21 shots. He was aggressive. He was aggressive early on. He had 7 points in the first quarter. He had 8 points in the second. He had 6 points in the third. It just felt like this was everything that you needed to see out of a guy that at times in the series, you wanted to see a lot more of. That Mitty was killing the Knicks time after time. You weren't seeing Siakam settling for a bunch of threes or just kind of, recklessly driving at the hoop. That mid-range shot, he trusted it. He hit some hard shots tonight, but I feel like tonight is the exact reason why you pony up, you save up picks to go after the best available player that is on the market. And at the time, that was Pascal Siakam. And sometimes the best ability is availability. And, between OG and Siakam, Siakam's been the guy that has been there throughout this season. The Pacers can count on, and tonight they did.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Like, Josh Hart was his primary defender early on in the game. Josh Hart got the ab injury, was not able to hang with him. They threw Precious Achiuwa on him. I think even in the second half, they switched the matchup and put Hart on Miles Turner, like we talked about, and Hartenstein on Siakam, and it really didn't matter. I mean, Siakam was hitting 12 to 14 footers over Hartenstein in that mid-range area, and it was just, okay, step back, swish. And it was so therapeutic to see him be able to go out there and just play like we know he's capable of playing. I think that's what's frustrated me more than anything is the Pacers not being able to get him in the spots he needs to be in. I had a great conversation before the game with somebody talking about how this Pacers team is going to look in future seasons. And the reason why they traded for Siakam was because they wanted to sign him long-term. And they said to me, well, do you think it's a style of play issue? And I said, well, here's my thing. Indiana can still play their fast up-tempo style, which is great. But I think if you can have a half-court offense where you get Siakam the ball in more of a slow-paced offense where he can get the ball in the paint, that just kind of makes you more diverse. It allows you to play more than just one way, which makes you harder to beat. So in my opinion, if they can continue to get Siakam the ball like this, especially in this series, not knowing the status of Josh Hart for game 7, yes, Precious Achiuwa, Isaiah Hartenstein are bigger players. They will be able to be more physical with him. But Pascal Siakam has such great touch around the rim. And what he ended up having, 4 free throws overall in this game, and I guarantee he got fouled at least 7 or 8 times on some of those shots. So I'll just say this, he could have had a lot more free throws than he did, and he still had 25 points on incredibly efficient shooting. So get Pascal the ball and play the offense through him.
The first quarter, honestly, I could be wrong. It felt like there was one whistle. For a long time at the beginning of the game, there was no whistles.
And it was 11 free throws to 3 with like 3 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah, I mean, there was not a lot of stuff being called, early on in this game. But also, yeah, the Knicks ended up dominating from the free throw line compared to what the Pacers shot. But it didn't matter in the score. But I also just feel like, yeah, Siakam could have gotten more fouls called, for him to be able to send him to the line. But if Josh Hart is anything less than 100%, that is a major blow for the Knicks. And in my mind, I've always said on this show many times, I am no doctor. There is no way that Josh Hart is going to be healthy in about 40 hours from now. He looked like he was in some excruciating pain, and that is one tough guy that is used to playing every second of each game. If he could only give them 40 minutes, that's a loss for New York. If he can only play around 30 minutes or potentially can't play at all, that is a major, major blow to the New York Knicks. Look, it's not something that we can apologize for. I really do hope that Josh Hart is all right. He's been a really good player in this series. It's kind of been fun to watch. It's been frustrating, but you could respect what he does on a nightly basis. But if he can't be out there, the Knicks are already as thin as it is, and I do not know who would be able to guard a guy like Pascal Siakam.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to throw a chew on him and Hartenstein and just hope for the best. I mean, I think that the size will be a little bit more problematic for Siakam to score on, but I think tonight he proved that if he gets the ball in the right spot and he's really cooking, then he'll be able to do that. He's one of the only players, and I think the only guy that's in the rotation that has played in a game 7. So it's going to be big for him to kind of be able to carry this team a little bit when it comes down to it, because it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, and they're going to need him to do it.
7 against Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. But, I mean, to me, it's like Totally different environment when you're going into the Eastern Conference Finals. But you're right. You know, Turner was in that Game 7, and Turner did not have a good Game 7 against the Cavaliers in that one either. One that I'm sure he would love to forget about, but a great chance for redemption. I'm just going to say this. I thought Miles Turner played great tonight as well. I thought there were some really big moments from him, and we talked about the rebounding and how it's been the determining factor for every single game in this series, and once again, that is the case. But in the first quarter, when I saw a shot go up, I saw Miles Turner put a body on Isaiah Hartenstein for the first time in a long time. And it wasn't just him putting a body on him. There was one play where after Turner made the initial contact with him, Siakam and Nesmith both hit him on both sides to box out. And that's how much you could tell this team was dedicated to rebounding tonight. They got away from it a little bit as the second quarter went on. And the Knicks had a couple of runs here and there before Indiana had their big one. But for the most part, I think you have to love the way this team was able to stay disciplined and really box out.
We heard Rick really, really be emphasizing that the Pacers needed to rebound better. And they did. What we saw tonight was a team that was determined to win the rebounding battle. And that is exactly what they did. They won this rebounding battle 47 to 35. That's a plus 12 advantage. They battled for each and every board, just like you described. You know, you saw it took, you know, boxing out, batting the ball, you know, up in the air, you know, whatever you could do. That this was a Knicks team that last game won the offensive rebounding battle 20-5. Tonight, the Pacers won the offensive rebounding battle 14-13. That's a big difference. I had mentioned that the Pacers only had one player pulling down more than six rebounds in this series, Pascal Siakam with 6.8. Tonight, all five starters gave you 6 to 8 rebounds. That is a collective effort. Siakam, Nesmith, Turner, they each had 3 offensive rebounds. Nembhard had 2. This team fought, and I feel like you could respect it. You could see it early on. They were not going to get punked. Of course, you had the fears a little bit in the second half. Hey, what is New York going to do? But what we saw from the Pacers was truly an emphasis to boxing out and keeping the Knicks off the offensive glass.
Yeah, I mean, it was a collective effort, and Tyrese Haliburton talked about that. He said that, you know, it kind of gets put on Miles because it was his guy getting the rebounds. He said, but one thing that Hartenstein's really good at is tapping the ball away at the rim, and then other guys get the rebound. So I thought that that was a great point by Tyrese to bring that up, because we saw tonight, like, Indiana had a lot more tap outs. I don't know if you noticed that or not, but definitely. It was like, we're going to do everything we can to get our hands on the ball and tip it out, whatever we got to do. It was just a point of emphasis that they really executed well. I love the way that they came out there, and they were the more physical team tonight, and I think they have to carry that performance from Game 6 into Game 7 if they're going to be as effective on the glass. Now, I do want to talk about the defense here a little bit, because I thought they did a much better job on their hedging and things like that, but it still, especially in that first quarter, led to a lot of open looks for Deuce McBride, and you saw it. He got going early with 3 triples to start the game, ended up having a drive after that. And I'll just say this, it's a lot to ask Tyrese Haliburton to come all the way up and stay as far as he is up high on that trap and that hedge as Nesmith is coming underneath and coming through to get back on Brunson, and then asking Tyrese to completely run back to McBride, who's wide open for 3. And it's Brunson adds this kind of attention, so it's kudos to the Knicks for having a player that can do this. But McBride had so many open looks, and I felt like Indiana did a much better job adjusting. And what you saw is Pascal Siakam then went on to Miles McBride for stretches throughout the game. And they put Tyrese on Josh Hart. And that did kind of slow down McBride's ability to kind of just score at will when he wanted to, even though I thought he had a really good game. Like, McBride was really good in this game. Mm-hmm. I just felt like they made that adjustment about halfway through the second quarter, into the second quarter, into the third, they made it a little bit. And unless there was a cross match that happened on the other end of the court where they couldn't make that switch, they were trying to make sure Pascal was doing that. I just want to say that's like a big kudos to Pascal for trying to, from going to guarding Josh Hart to going to guard a 6'2", 6'1" point guard that can put the ball on the floor. Like, that's just a lot to ask a guy.
No, it really is. I mean, Deuce had it going early. He had 11 points in the first quarter. He had 15 at halftime. That felt like a big difference of like, come on, like the Pacers are playing well, but like, you're having guys like Deuce McBride give him 15. What's going to happen when Brunson gets it going? You know, DiVincenzo is another guy that had wide open looks. he missed a couple threes that he had been good for in the first few games. So I thought the Pacers were, you know, a little bit lucky in that department. But I got to give the Indiana credit for their defense on Jalen Brunson in the first half. Yeah, I know you could look at the box score, you could see 31 points, and that does look like a good game for Jalen Brunson. But Jalen Brunson was 2 of 13 in the first half with 11 straight misses after he started going 2 for 2 in this game. Mm-hmm. And Indiana was just throwing everybody at him. I felt like Nesmith did a good job. Andrew Nembhard did a good job. They had good help defense
Ben Shepard. On
Brunson. Yes, it was everybody was doing their part. And when you think about how Jalen Brunson just went off for 44 points in game 5, what could you do to stop him? We thought, what could they do to even try and contain him? They had Brunson very frustrated in that first half. I know he ended up having a good third quarter. He definitely did. But the first half is what really distanced Indiana and gave them that 10-point lead at halftime, which was, you know, the cushion that they needed to never really be able to look back.
No, it's a good point. And I think even T.J. McConnell did a really good job. Mm-hmm. Out there being physical with Brunson. Brunson, all of his shots in the first half looked short, even his free throws. Yep. He missed a pair of free throws back-to-back, which is not Jalen Brunson-like. So it was just a weird night for him. I do think at halftime, I don't know if they mentioned this on the broadcast, but I believe he changed his shoes at the half because I think he was wearing like a lime green colored shoe, and maybe he changed it to a white shoe in the second half. And you talk about it like he ended up with 31 points, so that means that he had 26 points in the second half. He was 9 of 13. Like, he was uber efficient in the second half. And so I definitely feel like that technical free throw that Andrew Nembhard was called for at the end of the half that he got to shoot, plus that wide open layup that he got on that Pacers miscommunication between Turner and Nesmith on the switch there when they were trying to full court, you know, pressure like they have been all series long to start the second half, it allowed Brunson to kind of get more loose. And seeing the ball go in twice in a row within a matter of like 20 seconds, that's got to make you feel better when you've been struggling all night. And if the shoes are really bothering him, you know, maybe it was a psyche thing. Maybe it was an actual physical thing. I don't know. But, like, the fact that he changed his shoes to me was pretty interesting. So, overall, I mean, Jalen Brunson, he had a decent game. But you kind of contained Alec Burks. Isaiah Hartenstein was very quiet tonight. Josh Hart did not have a good game. And really, it was Dante DiVincenzo, which I talked about. I said he's not been playing well the last two games. I think he's going to have a better game. Ended up with 17 points, which is good, but not great. So I just felt like Indiana, really outside of McBride and Brunson, they really kind of contained New York and what they were able to do offensively.
DiVincenzo did have 17, but just 2 in the second half.
Yeah,
McBride had 20, but just 5 in the second half. So Indiana did a good job being able to slow down those guys. But yes, it was Brunson that went off in the second half. So I feel like they did, you know, you can't have it all. You're not going to shut down everybody, but I feel that Indiana, you know, shut down Brunson in the first half. He went off in the second half. The second half, Indiana shut down Deuce and Dante DiVincenzo. So that was great to see. You know, we touched on the rebounding. We touched on, you know, Siakam. I thought Haliburton played a better game.
Yeah.
Not a great game. They didn't need him to play a great game, but they will in Game 7. And it's not that he played a bad game by any means. Look, he did take more shots, but just 12 shots. Just a few more than last game. He had 15 points. I think it was about 7 that came in the third quarter or so. So he, you know, he ended up getting it going. 9 assists to just 1 turnover. Great stuff. 6 boards. Good rebounding effort. I felt that he was a little bit too reliant on his 3-pointer. He had 8 threes. He went 3 of 5 to start. Missed his last few threes, but yeah. he was what Indiana needed tonight. In Game 7, I do think it's going to be a different story. This was one of those games that the Pacers managed to win when he had sub 15 shots. They were 1-4 coming into the game. So you don't want to count on him having, you know, 12 shots again in Game 7. You're going to need more. But on a night like tonight, it was Indiana's well-balanced effort across the board. 6 players in double figures. Siakam leading the way. That's what got the job done. And that's what really New York does not have. They don't have 6 guys they can count on like that. They got the job done tonight for Indiana.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah, my 20-5 prediction yesterday was not accurate for what Tyrese Halliburton did. I was shooting for the moon, but I'll take the stars. You know, we got what we got. That's actually further than the moon, maybe. I don't know. But bad analogy here at 12:45 at night. But regardless, I'm just going to say this. Tyrese Halliburton had a much better game. And I will say this. I did not like him doing the too small thing to McBride. After McBride had pretty much outplayed him at that point. So it's like when you're getting outplayed by McBride, maybe you shouldn't do the too small, but whatever he needs to do to get himself going. He did have a stretch there in the third quarter where he hit some big shots and just felt like he was loosening up a little bit because he hit that first three, and then I think he missed the second one that could have made it 6-0. But he had some good looks, and I felt like he was much more aggressive. And Tyrese talked about this after the game. He said getting himself into the paint is what's best for this team. And I think we saw that because – we know this team is at their best when they are all scoring in double figures. It's not Tyrese has 35 and Siakam has 20 and nobody else scores. It's no, TJ has 15, Tyrese has 15, Siakam has 25, Turner has 12, whatever. You know, you just need to see this group collectively put the ball in the basket. I think that's when they're at their best. And I think Tyrese did a very good job. 9 assists tonight. It's just it's a hard thing. Like there's a lot of attention that he is drawing from this Knicks defense. And McBride is going all out trying to take him out of the game. And I think I noticed a few different times where McBride was just kind of exhausted because it's a lot of work. And I think Tyrese did a much better job instead of just standing there in the corner and not doing anything, moving without the basketball, making him work. And then at times, even if he wasn't scoring or even getting the assist, he was drawing attention to himself by getting into the paint, spraying it out to a shooter who could then maybe, you know, move the ball, get it back to Siakam, whatever. It was just a much better flow to the offense tonight. And I think Tyrese's aggressiveness helped that. Did he end up having more than 15 attempts tonight?
No, it was 12, like I mentioned before. So now they're 2-4 in terms of when he has less than 15 shots. It's an anomaly. I don't think that it's something that you want to do again. I think in game 7, you're going to need to shoot the ball more. The lights will be bright. You got to respond. So I think that the Pacers showed that sense of urgency. I want to see them not take their foot off the gas. I want to see them kind of smell blood in the water and say, hey, you know, we haven't been able to win on the road. But at the same point, you know, now's a good time. Now's a good time to start. So I think that that would be great. But you mentioned about trying to get in the paint. Points in the paint.
Talk
Indiana
about it.
Was dominant in the paint tonight. India has been the better team in the paint just about all series. One game, they're outscored by 2 in the paint, and then there was the disastrous game 5 where just the Pacers were bad across the board. Tonight, they outscored New York in the paint 62-38, but the 40 points that they had in the paint in the first half, Alex, was the most in the playoffs in the last 25 years by any team. They were that dominant in the paint. They had it going on. They did not rely on the three-point shot. Just 26 three-point attempts. That's not a lot for the Pacers. Tonight, the winning recipe was get in the paint.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it came from the ball movement. The ball didn't stick as much as it did in New York.
35 assists.
Yeah, that's when you know it's Pacers basketball. I mean, I think one of my favorite plays is when Turner kind of did a circle around, like he kind of got out of the way and then circled back around, and Siakam found him there for that slam in the first half, right in front of the bench. He just got really excited. Obi Toppin had some fast break dunks that were great to see and got the crowd going. TJ McConnell was able to get into the paint. Andrew Nembhard on his first drive had a great, you know, reverse layup type thing where he used the other side of the rim to protect himself from getting blocked. You know, I just felt like Indiana was relentless at attacking the paint this time compared to the previous games, where I think sometimes this team can fall in love with the three-point shot too much, especially when they get down. And I think that's a big problem because they constantly try to go for the punch and the kill instead of just chipping away at that lead. You know, it's nice to see three threes go down in a row like Miles Turner did to cut a 16-point lead to 7, and it's possible. But you have to be able to back that up and continue to find other ways to score besides just getting hot for a few seconds there from behind the arc. So I felt like Indiana, they were so much better at, like you said, getting into the paint. And it was a collective group. It wasn't just, you know, Siakam's post-ups. It was the way Tyrese was getting to the paint a little bit more. Turner getting into the paint, having some big dunks. I mean, I felt like at one point we were having a dunk off here between Turner and Toppin. It was great to see.
I really want to highlight Turner because, you know, he had 10 shots tonight. 7 of them were you know, inside the three-point line. And I think that was big. When he threw it down, he threw it down ferociously. Like, those were some hard dunks that were very tough to block. And when he's doing that, he's getting the free throw line. He had 5 free throws tonight. He had 0 free throws the last 2 games. So we've seen Turner in terms of getting the line. Game 1, 6 free throws. Game 2, just 1. Game 3, 6 free throws. The next 2 games, 0. Tonight, 5. It's like when Turner's getting in the paint, great things are happening for the Pacers. And I feel that that was the difference. He did settle for so many threes in game 5. 7 of his 12 shots came from three-point land. Like I mentioned tonight, just 3 of 10 from three-point land. So I felt like Turner, yeah, he was definitely throwing it down. Love to see it. You know, you mentioned, you know, Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell. They were who we know that they can be and who they have been. Those two players lead all players in the playoffs in scoring off the bench. Obi's number 1, followed by TJ McConnell. Those two are vital to the Pacers' success. I felt that they brought it tonight. And just overall, I mean, I feel like the Pacers answered the bell. They checked every box that you wanted to see. I talked about they were sloppy last game. 18 turnovers. Tonight, just 9. The assists last game was 24. Tonight, 35. It's just like across the board, they cleaned up their, you know, the game of basketball, and they were everything that you needed to do. You needed to play a great game in front of your home crowd. And like I've said before, come to Gainbridge, see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, this team, this is the first time they've ever been on the brink of elimination, and I think they responded well. They were the more desperate team tonight.
Yes.
That was expected. I think New York was the more desperate team in Game 5. Now, both teams have their backs against the wall. Who's going to be the more desperate team in Game 7? The Knicks are going to have their fan base backing them up, so it's going to be a much, much tougher environment for this young Pacers team. But I will just say this, if they can just carry over a little bit of what they did tonight into that, hopefully it helps manifest some magic that we saw tonight. But it's been spectacular just seeing how this team responds. And what's really frustrating is you see this Pacers team do this kind of stuff tonight, and it's just so frustrating that the next game they might not be able to do the same thing, and they drop the ball and they just don't play the same. They're very up and down team. It's like a roller coaster ride, Fauci. But I got to say, tonight, Obi Toppin good. TJ McConnell, very good. I felt like Andrew Nembhard did better defensively on Brunson than he had previously when he was assigned to him a few different times there. And I think you kind of saw, like, they just went away from that. He was out there with Ben Shepherd and TJ McConnell, and they were just like, no, you're not guarding him. You know, and I appreciate that because they just knew that matchup wasn't working. And you have to just say, you know, we're going to punt this out of the game plan. If it happens here and there every once in a while, sure, we'll work with it. But I think that Shepherd and Nesmith did a very good job. Specifically, yeah, and McConnell too, but you know, that length was big. So, I mean, I just want to give a shout out to Aaron Nesmith.
Okay. He deserves it.
This guy is not going to give you the points that maybe you want. He's not the offensive threat that maybe you need him to be a little bit more at times. But the amount of energy this guy is exerting, not just on offense and defense, you know, not just one side of the ball over the other, but offensively, he's moving a lot without the basketball, but defensively, guarding Jalen Brunson is so hard to do.
Yeah.
We've seen how good Jalen Brunson has been, but the amount of times he's fighting through tough screens, having just to stay with him the full length of the court every single time he's out there. I mean, when he's gotten a sub by Ben Shepherd and Ben Shepherd's been in there to relieve him from some minutes, you just see the gasp of air that he takes, that big sigh of relief, like, oh, I need a break. I'm exhausted. But he plays through it every single time he's on the court, and I just think we have to give him a lot of praise for his ability to hang with Brunson. And I understand the Knicks are the cardiac Knicks. They just play 48 minutes a game, whatever. But Pacers aren't built that way. They play a super fast pace. I just feel like the amount of energy he's exerting deserves a lot of praise.
It's easy to overlook Nesmith because he's not having these like highlight plays. It's not like a clutch three or this like, you know, ferocious block. It's just nonstop going hard, nonstop giving you everything he's got. The 8 points, look, Nesmith's the seventh leading scorer on this Pacers team in this series, but he's been one of the most vital players for Indiana in this series. He's that, you could make an argument to say maybe he's the one guy that, you know, can't get in foul trouble. He's got to stay, you know, out of foul trouble because they need him that much. And tonight he was a plus 20. That was the lead, tied with Siakam for the best on the team. And I just feel that he has been kind of one of those unsung heroes that if Indiana is to win this series, his name's not going to come up first, second, probably not even third, maybe not even fourth. You know, everybody's kind of taken a turn to have a big game. Nembhard had that game-winning shot earlier in the series. Tonight, he was another guy that was quietly really good. 15 points, 6 boards, 6 assists. He was a plus 15. He was aggressive early. He had 6 shots very early in this game. And I just feel that he was 3 of 4 from 3. That 3-point shot's been a little up and down. The Pacers brought it tonight, I think, from top to bottom of their roster. And I think everybody on the Knicks, I think, kind of played, you know, for the most part, just a little bit worse. And every Pacer player played just a little bit better. And that's what it takes in Game 7. Who's going to dig the deepest and bring out the last remaining thing that you got? And you could see the Knicks right now, they're running on fumes. And this lack of rest is not going to help them out. The Pacers have managed to stay healthy for the most part. And for that, you got to give this Pacers team credit for just, like I said before, you got to stay available in order to really make a difference in the series.
Absolutely, Facci. Now, I want to say this as we wrap up. I think it's poetic that you are rocking the jersey that you have on tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Facci's got a big, oversized throwback. Show us the number.
It's Danny Granger, number 33. I had to dig deep in the closet.
Well, let me say this. Who revved it up tonight for the Indiana Pacers?
Hunter Davis.
What number was he?
33. Wow. Yeah.
Who had some big dunks tonight and had a really good game at the center position for the Pacers? What number was he?
Yep.
Number 33. You're wearing a number 33 Danny Granger jersey.
Hey, true.
What is this series right now, Facci?
3-3. Oh, my God. I mean, look, it's the magic number. You know, listen, I went out for Chinese food before this. This is a true story, all right?
Why'd you say it like that? Chinese food.
Just transitioning real quick. So all of a sudden, I grab my fortune cookie at the end of the meal. Swear. And I open up the fortune cookie. It says, you will have a relaxing moment tonight. I'm going to pace your games on. I don't think there's going to be anything relaxing about that. And then I went, unless we win. And I literally took a picture of that. I sent it to my old college roommate who's a huge Knicks fan. And I said, yeah, I think you're in some trouble tonight. This fortune cookie ain't lying. And at the end of the night, I looked at that fortune cookie, that little, you know, message. And I was like, it saw the future. And sometimes you got to look for a sign. Sometimes it's a lucky – I don't know if you're wearing the socks. Were you Facci, wearing the socks?
I'm going to take them off and show the listeners what these look like.
We need everything we can take right now, whatever superstitions. There you go. That sock, I don't know what it smells like. I don't want to know what it smells like.
It's a little
like,
reeky, but it's a Pacers sock, baby.
It works. And for that, we're going to need it for Game 7. Wash it. Don't wash it. I don't care. Make sure you have it on, though.
All right. I will make sure that I have these on Sunday at 3:30. If we lose, it's because I probably didn't wash them.
Yeah.
So anyway, got to have my caveat, you know, in case we end up having a bad result with the Sox. But regardless, it's been a fun ride, Facci. So far this series, 3-3, going back to the Garden. What more could you ask for? You know what? More content from Alex and Facci? Is that what you guys want? Well, Have no fear. On Sunday, we will have a preview for you. Maybe even Saturday night, we'll drop that preview, and boom, Sunday night, we'll be recording a recap podcast. So we are going to keep you guys covered. But with that being said, I think this kind of wraps it up. Fauci, any final thoughts on this game before we say goodbye?
Just soak this in. The season ain't done. We live to see at least one more game. Appreciate this. I mean, this team, look, the last time the Knicks, you know, went to a game seven, it was 1995 when the Pacers sent them packing, sent them back home. So at this point, look, game sevens, this is absolutely a renewed rivalry. It is back. And this is something we will look back on for years to come. But hey, we have at least one more game. Let's appreciate it. Let's be ready. Let's back this team up, and let's get this job done.
Let's get it done, Pacer Nation. I did pick the Knicks in seven at the beginning of the series. I think you said last episode that you said Knicks in six?
No, seven. I always felt good about winning at home. I always did.
Okay.
I did not feel good about winning in Madison Square Garden. I still don't, but I want to believe bad. The Josh Hart injury is what absolutely could change things.
I think that's definitely going to play a big factor in everything, and I think there are some people. It's so funny. After, like, game four, Indiana wins big. Everyone's talking about Pacers, Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then after the Knicks win big in game five, it's, Knicks, Celtics in the finals. And now after Indiana wins game six, now we're talking about the Pacers and the Celtics in the finals, or Eastern Conference Finals. Like, just relax. Let this thing play out before we start moving on to the next round. There's still a lot of basketball to be played, and there's still 48 minutes to determine who is going to spoil the Celtics championship run this year. I mean, my goodness. Let's just call it what it is, right? No, I'm just kidding. But,
hey, who knows? Oh, I don't want to get too ahead of myself. They say Porzingis is probably going to be out for games one and two. I can't go there. I can't do this right now. We can't be talking about
Eastern Conference. We're not talking about Boston.
Until the job is done. Like I said, game seven, that's what it's all about. This is why players play the game, for these type of moments. Every single player on this Pacers roster, every single player on that Knicks roster dreamed of playing a game seven when it mattered most under the big lights, and that is exactly what we will all be treated to.
Fauci, me and you have dreamed about playing in a game seven in the NBA.
Yes, I have.
Eastern semifinals. But you know what? We are not basketball players, and that is why we are podcasters. So since we're great at talking, go ahead and tell everybody where they can find us at on the good old social media.
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at PacersPod, STP. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at _FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at PacersPod, STP. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok at Setting the Pace. And Alex, tell them where they can check us out on YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to youtube.com/setting the pace, a Pacers podcast, where you can find all of our video content. And if you're listening to this on the audio platform, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Subscribe to our podcast feed so that way you can wake up and see the Setting the Pace episode dropped every morning for you to listen to on your commute to work. But I will say this as we wrap it up. Got to see Caitlin Cooper in person tonight at the game. First time meeting her in person.
Yeah. So nice. Yeah,
it was great to chat with her before the game.
Awesome.
#basketball. She wrote, love her coverage of this team. Great human being. Really nice to talk with her before the game. So one of the best. Want to give her a shout out. And I know she's doing a great job covering the Pacers with Samson Folk on her Patreon, and as well as her YouTube page for her podcast. But anyway, with that being said, Fauci, if you're hoping the Pacers can take down the Knickerbockers in the Garden for game seven, and hit me with those 3 words.
Let's go, Pacers!
Pacers! I love the Pacers! Oh!
Meatball! And we win it all! We win it all!
Hey!
There was a prophecy. There was a prophecy. They said, Pacers in seven, Halliburton with 40.
Pacers in seven. I give Halliburton 40. See, y'all come 30.
Let's go, Pacers! Go, Pacers!
You know, whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of Setting the Pace.
Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement Systems, or simpler, EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you're here in Indiana or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/pace to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/pace, P-A-C-E. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey guys, Foch here, and I'm going to tell you about the Autograph app. Autograph app is where real fans get unreal rewards. They're bringing you the best content for your team in one place. This is where you can get recognized and rewarded for your passion for your favorite team. Get all your sports content in one place, your favorite articles, your favorite podcasts, like Setting the Pace. But in this scenario, you're going to get rewarded for tuning in. So level up your status and unlock unique rewards with the Autograph app. You can use promo code PACE when you sign up, and you're going to be able to unlock the most flex-worthy rewards out there. I'm talking about discounted tickets, signed memorabilia. Occasionally, they're even raffling off free tickets like they did for Game 6 of Pacers versus Knicks. So claim your achievement trophies as you grow your fandom. You might as well already get rewarded for what you're already doing as a fan, and that's tuning in. So download the Autograph app with promo code PACE and see what the hype's all about.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.